This is NHL Radio.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I am just a devil with love to spare. So viva Las Vegas, viva Las Vegas.
Time now for NHL Hour with Commissioner Gary Bettman on NHL Home Ice.
Welcome to the NHL Hour. Gary Bettman coming to you live from the Pearl Theater at the Palms Hotel, site of tonight's NHL Award Show. Joining me, filling Bill Clement's seat, is Rob Simpson.
Hi, Commissioner. How are you?
Good.
It's a beautiful day, and it's a great event.
It is a beautiful day and a great event, and we'll talk more about it. The call-in number is 1-877-645-6696. That's 1-877-645-6696. We'll try to get to your calls later in the show, but we're going to have three guests for you today. I guess it's the influence of Las Vegas. The music was the influence of Las Vegas, because certainly everybody knows that's not my taste in music, but when in Rome, do as the Romans do. But Chicago Blackhawk left wing Chris Versteeg is going to be here, as will Boston Bruins goalie Tim Thomas, and the owner of the Palms Hotel, George Maloof, and they'll all be with us during the course of the show. So, Rob, how are you? Have you been enjoying your time in Las Vegas?
I have. It's been terrific. The Palms is a fantastic place, as you know, and we've been enjoying it. The NHLers have been enjoying it. Did a little pool time, a little din-din, a little spa, taking advantage of all the amenities.
And there are a lot of amenities. To repeat to our listeners, tonight's show is coming to you from the Palms in Las Vegas in a few hours, and it's going to be a terrific show. As the NHL Awards are traditionally, we will be acknowledging the outstanding performers of the 2008-2009 NHL regular season. They will all be recognized for their accomplishments. The nominees are a great list of terrific players, and without regard to who wins in each category, I think it's a great honor for all of them to be here. And being here, interesting point, because I've gotten asked a lot about why we did this, and we felt that we could make this even a bigger and more visible event, and the early indications are that's the case. There are something like 150 players in Las Vegas, which is a record turnout, not just for the awards, but for the Players Association meetings, which will also be going on in Las Vegas.
Yep.
And so it was done in conjunction with this. We've made it a destination event. I think the number of media are more than double that we've had in any of the last few award shows.
So you had a hard time talking to media into coming out to Vegas?
Not at all. And in fact, there have been other events. A lot of sponsors of the clubs and the league are here. There are lots of people who are out on the golf courses today, as with you out at the pool. Yesterday, we had an NHL celebrity shootout poker tournament for charity. A number of players participated. Scott Hartnell won. I think there was about $150,000 in prizes. Ooh. To be donated to the charity of the winning players.
Very nice.
So it was a great event. It was done in conjunction with the World Series of Poker in the same facility. And it was a pretty big deal. The Stanley Cup was there, and people were excited to see it. For our listeners, you can watch tonight's award show in Canada at 8:30 on the CBC, and you can watch it in the United States at 7:30, an hour earlier, 7:30 in the United States, on Versus. We will have some outstanding presenters, which I think comes with being in Las Vegas. The show will look a little different than it has in prior years, befitting a place that's known for entertainment.
Yep.
Kevin Connolly from HBO's Entourage, entertainer Michael Bublé, who just stopped by to say hello to us,
yep,
movie producer Jerry Bruckheimer, and there'll be a bevy of outstanding alumni presenting, including Brian Leetch, Tony Esposito, Stan Mikita, Mike Bossy, Igor Larionov, and everyone of the award nominees has made the trip to Las Vegas for the culmination of what has already been a very exciting and energizing 2 days. And it goes to the point that I made before. I don't remember the last time that all of the nominees were here, were at the award show, and so we think that's good. Later, we're going to be talking to Chris Versteeg of the Blackhawks, and he's a candidate for the Calder Trophy that honors the Rookie of the Year. Tim Thomas of the Boston Bruins, a finalist for the Vezina, as the NHL's top goaltender in 08-09, will be with us. And we're going to spend some time with our host for this event, George Maloof, owner of the Palms. We'll speak with Pat Burns as well, the only man in history to win the Jack Adams Award as NHL Coach of the Year 3 times with 3 different teams. So there's a busy day ahead, and I want to take just a quick moment to look back on the busy week we just finished. Congratulations again to the Pittsburgh Penguins on beating the road team Hex and winning the Stanley Cup last Friday night. And how's this for irony? Did you know that Game 7 was the 87th game of the 2009 playoffs? Yeah. And you know who wears 87. Yeah. Seems to be a good luck number in Pittsburgh. Mario Lemieux is now the only person in the world to have his name on the Stanley Cup as a player and as an owner. Mm-hmm. Congratulations also to Todd Richards for being named coach of the Minnesota Wild. And this is our final show of the 2008-2009 season. And I want to thank all of our fans in general for a terrific season and to the listeners of this program, particularly those who call in. I want to say thank you as well to all the guests who join us, and I'm looking forward to next season, to the premier games in Stockholm and Helsinki, to the Winter Classic in a place yet to be named, to the Olympic Games in Vancouver. It should all be a simply spectacular season. We're coming off a great foundation, and we think it should be every bit as compelling as this season was. And tonight's, I think, a good way to wrap up this season and look ahead to next season. The game on the ice has been strong. We had a very strong season off the ice financially. Our fans have been terrific, better than ever in terms of watching our games, looking at our TV ratings, attendance, NHL.com, the NHL Network, XM Sirius, all of our meeting assets. We're looking forward to doing more and better. And with us, our first guest, Chris Versteeg. Welcome. How are you?
Pat Kane's harassing him.
I know.
What a bomb.
Pat, you can sit down and join us too if you want.
Where's your tie?
What?
I
think we're dealing with rehearsal. Chris, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You made the final table last night at the poker tournament.
Yeah, I got pretty lucky. I went all in a couple times and kept doubling up. And I guess I ran with it. And then I guess I ran into too much experience at that final table.
Was it more intense when you got to the final table? Because there were a couple of professional poker players sitting with you there.
Yeah, they seem to be able to wait you out. And I have a bad case of ADD, it seems like. And I just like to kind of play every hand and try to play every hand at its most, too. So I guess I baffled a couple of the poker players. They didn't really know what was going on, but I bluffed a couple of them, and I impressed myself like that.
Pat, how you doing?
Good.
How's your summer going, and how's the trip to Vegas?
Pretty good. Just hanging out in Buffalo for the summer. It's good to be here in Vegas, too. It's always a fun place. Been here a couple times, so it's definitely fun to have the NHL Awards here, too. It's fun to be a part of, and it's just great to be here.
You guys aren't legal yet, so are you managing to stay out of trouble?
He's legal.
I'm legal.
You're legal?
Yeah. He's old.
He's not even close.
He's getting closer. What were your best memories of this past season in Chicago?
Mine probably would be the Winter Classic. I mean, just how they hyped up the game, and it was everything and more. I mean, you get to the game, and the atmosphere surrounding everything, and the fans, the walk out to the arena, and just looking around, and when they had the Jets fly over for the national anthem, I think that was really a cherry on top.
Pat?
I think everything. I think just the way the whole year went for us from, you know, last year, kind of just having the fans come back to Chicago, leading the league in attendance, how far we got in playoffs, and hopefully we can top it off with a kid winning Rookie of the Year. In the rehearsal, I announced his name out there, so I'm getting ready for it.
Well, actually, back-to-back Rookie of the Years, do you guys know the last time that's happened for a team?
I guess it was Boston, Bobby Orr.
Oh, yeah. Derek Sanderson. That was pretty good.
Yep.
Very, but, very nice. Well,
I don't know how my chances are, but I'm just I'm happy to be
I'm gonna
here.
I'm going to say your name anyway.
Yeah, just,
so you're presenting.
Yeah.
I'll be like Zoolander, walk on up there, give a speech.
When you guys take the ice in the United Center, do you still get mesmerized by the national anthem, or after a while do you stop noticing its intensity?
Well, every time I think I notice it. I mean, every fan is screaming their head off, and it's something that I think that you can use in your advantage to get you going and help you out there on the ice, and I think that's why our team's had such strong starts to every game this whole season.
Was the coaching change traumatic? Did you see it coming, and how long did it take to adjust to a new coach?
I think with Savvy, I think for myself, he was kind of more of a friend to me my first year coming in, but 4 games into the season, you never really expect a coach to be fired, but it worked out that way. It seemed like it worked out for the better, and Quinville came in and did a great job kind of controlling the locker room, and obviously with him, it was a little bit different because you're just going out, and he said, just go out, play hockey, play with your instincts, and we're all NHL players. We're here for a reason, so that's probably a good thing in our advantage, and I think you could tell by the way we played. It was real fast, real hard, pretty strong up and down game.
What was the first playoff appearance for the Blackhawks in a long time like for you guys?
Well, that was pretty unbelievable. I mean, the Stanley Cup playoffs in its own is it's almost mystic, it seems like at times, and as a kid and just looking up to it, and now being able to play in it and really having the fans come together again, and that first national anthem that they did for the playoffs blew the roof off. So just the whole playoffs in general for us and the run to the Cup, it was a big experience. We weren't just happy to be there either. We were excited to be there, but we wanted to win the whole thing.
And what are you looking forward to most next season in terms of how the team comes back, and who do you think the key players are for the further development of the Blackhawks?
Got to send this guy. Yeah. Once we sign him up, we'll be good.
Yeah.
What's Vegas been like for you guys? When did you get in, and what are the things you've been doing?
I got in yesterday, and I had my mom and stepdad and 4 best friends out here, and so they went to the Cirque du Soleil, and we went over to the poker tournament and did that last night. So, but having the awards and possibly the greatest advertising city in all the world, this only grows the game more, and it gets people more interested, and it's I couldn't see a better place to put these awards.
Yeah, I got in yesterday too. I really can't do too much being underage, but it's just a privilege to be here for me. I think
sits in this room and drink coke.
They're pretty strict here about proofing people.
Yeah, no, I was trying to even just watch my cousin play roulette there for a bit, and they said they kind of knew who I was, so they said, hey, you know, you got to back away from the table. So it's been fun though. I mean, it's just a privilege to be here. Like I said, it's fun to be here for the NHL awards and just be a part of it. That's the best thing.
You clean up very nice, Chris. I saw you yesterday at the poker tournament. You look very nice in your suit.
Yeah, no, I was pretty scruffy yesterday, and I got a call, actually. Mr. McDonough wanted the ties on today, and I see Kane really listened to that.
Well, I don't think he's dressed for the show yet. Yeah,
just rehearsal.
I didn't really know what was going on, but I'm going to be in this tie all day now because of Brandon and Mr. McDonough. But you know what? You got to represent the Blackhawks.
And you guys are doing it.
Wait till you see me tonight. You want to talk about looking sharp.
Well, that's another incentive for our listeners.
You got a great suit on. Isn't that great?
Hey, guys, thank you for stopping by. No, I wish you good luck tonight.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll stay tuned. And thank you to Chris Versteeg and Pat Kane for joining us from the Chicago Blackhawks. Enjoy the rest of your stay in Las Vegas.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Sidney Crosby of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and you're listening to NHL Hour with Commissioner Gary Bettman on NHL Radio. Now back to Commissioner Bettman.
Welcome back to the NHL Hour. Gary Bettman along with Rob Simpson, who's filling in for Bill Clement. We're coming to you live from the Palms Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, outside of the Pearl Theater, where tonight's award show will be held. The call-in number again, for those of you on hold, please hang on. And if anybody else wants to call in, the number is 1-877-645-6696. That's 1-877-645-6696. And we're pleased to have another guest, Tim Thomas of the Boston Bruins. Welcome.
Thank you.
A little bit of background, not that all of our listeners need it. You shared the Williams-Jennings Trophy with Manny Fernandez after helping make the Bruins the team that surrendered the fewest goals this season with 196. You led all goaltenders with a 2.10 goals against average. You had a career-high 5 shutouts, including consecutive 1-0 shutouts on October 27th, 28th, and that's only the second time in NHL history. And the other time it happened, Craig Anderson of Florida had a day off in between. So you actually did it on consecutive nights. And you had a career-high 36 victories, and you were the winning goalie in the past 2 All-Star games. So it's no surprise you're up for the Vezina. How you feeling?
Good. You know, it's my first time at these awards, so it's a new experience to me. And but, you know, it's a fun experience.
What about the 2008-2009 season made you the most proud?
Well, there's more than one thing, but you know, first of all, just the growth that the team made. You know, having suffered through a year where we didn't make the playoffs a couple years ago, and to consistently get better to get to the level that we were at this year to be first overall in the East. That's probably the most the thing I'm most proud of. You know, personally, you know, I think the thing I was happiest with about myself was just a consistency that I was able to play to a fairly high level the whole season long without any real slumps. And that's, you can ask any goalie, that's actually kind of unique. It doesn't happen all that often. So when you get years like that, you appreciate them.
Is there anything you attribute that to? I understand that you do a lot of yoga. Is that something that plays a role in keeping you on an even keel and consistent?
Yeah, I think that's one of many pieces that has helped, you know, just overall better fitness through the help of our strength and conditioning coach at Boston Bruins, John Whitesides, the yoga, the one of the benefits of experience and maybe not being older, but the experience that comes with age. So being able to keep yourself in the right place where maybe some younger goalie would struggle with that. And so there's many things that went into it. And again, some of it boiled back to the consistency of my team.
You're not exactly an old man. For our listeners who don't know, what was your path to the Bruins?
How long is this?
That's okay.
You know, I went to University of Vermont. Coming out of I was drafted by the Quebec Nordiques, which makes me sound older than I am. But when I came out of college, I went to Colorado's camp, but I didn't get a job, so I started out in the East Coast Hockey League. I was out in the East Coast Hockey League for about a month and made my way up to the International Hockey League in Houston for about a month. I finished up that season in Finland, won a championship on a team with some great players, Kimmo Timonen, Brian Rafalski, Olli Jokinen, Nicholas Hagman. So I had an exceptional team that year. Then the next year I started out with Hamilton. In the AHL, I was there for the first half of the season approximately, and then I ended up going back to Finland for pure playing time at the end of the year. And so I was in Finland in 99, where Nicholas Backstrom, another Vezina finalist, was my backup. But he was only 19 years old. The first year in Finland, I won against Toskola in the finals. The second year in Finland, I lost in the finals against Kiprasov. And both of those years, I played Pasi Nurminen, a former NHL goalie. So, but anyways, that's just the first 2 years. I'm going to make this a little bit shorter. I've spent parts of 4 seasons in Finland, 1 full season in Sweden, and about 5 years in Providence over the course of the years before, you know, before I finally made it to the NHL full time. But I enjoyed myself at every level I was playing at, and I was fortunate to have good teammates at every level I was playing at.
So I guess the question is, were you a late bloomer, or the opportunity just didn't present itself? Have you gotten better as a goaltender over the years, or did you think you were always this good but you never got the chance at the NHL level?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of both things, actually. I definitely think that I could have played in the NHL at an earlier age. I think that I was good enough. But on the other hand, I think that I have gotten better just about every year, and that's one of my goals, is to keep trying to get better every year. And so far I've been able to do that. And so maybe I was good enough to play in the NHL at an earlier age, but maybe not good enough to play as well as I'm playing now, you know? So.
Well, actually, over the last three seasons, I think you've played 66, 57, and 54 games. Is there an ideal number for you?
Yeah, I think there, Boston Bruins coaching staff and management have been watching that. And I think that, you know, somewhere around 55 is the ideal number that they've kind of come up with. And that, I like it, especially with today's new NHL. When we changed the goaltending equipment rules a couple years ago, and we took away the hooking and holding, and we did bring offense back into the game, I think each individual game actually takes a little bit more energy out of a goalie than it used to. So I think it's harder to play the 70 games now than it would have been 5 or 6 years ago, where you could kind of block a little bit more because you have more equipment. And so Boston probably isn't the only team that's trying to find an ideal number for their goalies. A lot of other teams are too. And but for me, the number that I think we've kind of came up with is around 55.
How often do you like to be off? In other words, is there an ideal number? Do you like to play 2 or 3 games? Do you like playing back-to-backs? Or in the course of the season, it doesn't matter as long as you zero in to the mid-50s?
No, I kind of just approach it. I don't really think about it too much. I kind of approach it in the way when they tell me to play, I'm going to play. And if they tell me that the other guy's going to play, that's their decision. And that's the attitude that I like to try to keep. If I wasn't playing a lot, my attitude might change a little bit. But I've been fortunate enough to play enough games and play consistently enough that I've been happy with the amount of playing time that I've been getting. So I've just been kind of loosey-goosey and go with the flow. And that's the way I approach it.
Not to tell tales out of school or team secrets, but when do you typically get told when you're going to play a game? Do you get told after the last game, or when you show up at the rink on a particular day for a game?
It varies. Sometimes Coach Julian doesn't tell me till the day of the game. Sometimes he tells you the day before. Quite less often, but sometimes if we have a couple practice days in between, he will tell you even, you know, 2 or 3 days before a game. He likes to switch it up. I think he likes to keep you on your toes. And also, I think he's learned, at least with me, that it doesn't really matter. You could tell me the morning of the game, or you could tell me the day before. It doesn't really change the way that I'm going to approach the days or night before the game. And so I think sometimes he's not even telling me on the day of the game, because on purpose he's just forgot. Because he kind of knows that I'll be ready for whenever he tells me to play.
And how's your interaction with Manny Fernandez? Do you guys communicate a lot? Do you support each other, or do you kind of leave each other alone?
No, we communicate quite a bit. I had a great year with Manny this year. He was obviously in the lineup for the full season this year. So last year he was hurt. The year before that he was hurt a lot, so I didn't get to know him as well. I got to know him well this year, and we had a good relationship. I've been very fortunate with the people that I played with, as far as other goalies go. I've had a lot of really good relationships with my partners, so to speak. You know, even like Nick Backstrom, who's here, he was a very young kid when I played with him. He was 19, and I was an old man of like 23 at the time, or something like that. So I felt like the veteran though, but we got along well too, and it was a good year. Manny helped me out when I needed to be helped, and I think because we were both veterans, I tried to help him when I could, but we also knew when to leave each other alone if that's what the doctor ordered.
You're 35 years old. You've just completed what I guess is your third workhorse season. Have you hit your stride yet? And how long can you see yourself playing? To what age? Or is it not something you think about?
Well, you can't help but think about it. I've been thinking about it since I was 27. Every year you kind of evaluate yourself and you wonder, I wonder how long I can play. But having said that, I feel good at 35. Actually, I feel better at 35 than I did at 27. Like, I had a couple of years between 27 and 29 where I felt like my body was breaking down a little bit, and I kind of got over that hump, and I feel pretty good right now. I don't know when that'll change. It hasn't changed yet. So we'll see. I did, over the past couple of years, I have had to adjust to the NHL length of the season. Even though you play in the AHL and you play as many games, when you're playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's just different on your body, and it's you have more of the breaks. Monday to Thursday, a lot of times you have a total break, and you don't get those long breaks in the NHL very often. So I've had to adjust to that, and I had to adjust to that at a later age than most of the goalies that play in the NHL, and I guess part of my success the past maybe couple seasons is because I've made that adjustment. The first couple years were very tough. Even the first year I was called up, I only played I don't know exactly how much it was, 40 games. I played like 40 out of the last 42, but I'd already played like 35 in the AHL before that, and I'd started the season in Finland and played about 10 games. So that was like out of my whole career, that was the most games that I played. It was like 78 for that year. I'd added it up. And so the 54 that I played this year plus the playoffs actually seemed relatively easy in comparison.
You're not the only Bruin who's up for an award tonight. Zdeno Chara's up for the Norris. Claude Julien's up for the Jack Adams Coach of the Year. Talk a little bit about your teammate and about your coach and their contributions to the Bruin season.
It's been great to play with Zdeno Chara over the past 3 years. For a big man like that to be able to control his body the way that he's able to control it and to play to the level that he plays at all the time, it's been a great thing to see. Especially being back in goal, I watch it night in and night out, and I'm be rooting for him, and I think he deserves it. If he wins, he's earned it. And Coach Julien, he came into Boston 2 years ago, and the team has gotten nothing but progressively better in front of him, due to his coaching, and the whole coaching staff, and the players too. They deserve some of the credit, obviously. So I think he deserves it too. So I'm fortunate to be able to work with those guys on a daily basis.
Zdeno Chara, as you mentioned, very big, mm-hmm. biggest player in the league. Does that present any challenges or difficulties as you're trying to see what's going on in front of him?
Probably the first year I had to adjust to it, because you can never look up and around him. Some of your D, on a consistent basis, I'm not the tallest goalie in the world, but you can kind of look up and around him. And I had to learn playing with Zdeno that you can't do that. Quite often I'm looking between his legs. But a lot of times I don't even have to bend down to do that.
And he's got more blocking area.
Yeah. And you learn as a goalie when you play with any D long enough, if it's going to hit off of him and still make it towards the net, where that is going to be. But with Zdeno, if he's in the shooting lane, there's not many times that you're going to be able to get it through him because he is so big.
Speaking of big, where do you come out on the great goalie debate on equipment size. Was it too big? Is it just right? Are the efforts that everybody's making to make equipment more custom-fitting the right approach? How do you think about that as a goaltender?
Well, this is a kind of a touchy issue because
I
can only speak for myself, and I don't want to speak for everybody else. I think that, you know, when we did change the equipment from 12 to 11, I think that was the right move, and that was the right move for the game. And just to make, equipment smaller from where it was there, where it was just pure blocking. It was very hard to be just a pure blocking goalie now. You definitely can't be a little guy and be a blocker. Maybe a couple of 6'3 guys can still get away with it, but I'm not a smaller guy. So that's one part of it. You know, the proportionality debate, it sounds good on paper, but to make it actually fair for everybody, I think is very difficult to do, and to come up to a formula that's fair to every single person is very difficult. It might be impossible. I mean, I've been thinking about it. I can't come up with a perfectly fair formula myself. So that is that's touchy. I don't know if it's ever going to be fair. Any time you can keep working at it, I guess. But whenever you do one thing, you're going to hurt one guy. Not physically, but you're going to take away from one guy and give an advantage to another. So maybe the best thing to do is kind of leave it the way that it is right now, because the goal scoring was up this year. Nobody was complaining about goal scoring. I don't believe that forwards feel like the goalies are, from the ones I've talked to anyways, that they're all too big. Now, having said that, I wanted to point out one little thing.
Go ahead.
With some of these rules changes that we've made, we made the knee lifts shorter, and it hasn't affected me too much. I haven't felt really the difference, but from talking to some other goalies around the league, their knees and hips are hurting them more because when they go down, their knees are below their feet. There have been studies by medical doctors that if your knees are above your ankles when you're in the butterfly position, that is a lot less stressful. And if you look around the league right now, there's a lot of goalies getting hip surgeries, and I think it might relate to that one area. So there, that's what I have to say.
By the way, I wanted to give you an opportunity to say that. You thinking about playing for Team USA in Vancouver?
I would love to. You know, that would be one of the biggest, if not the biggest honor of my career. I'm fortunate enough to play with USA Hockey at 6 world championships, so I've worn the flag before. My dream actually was to be an Olympic player before it was to be an NHL player, because I was right in that five/six-year-old. I would have turned 6 a couple months after the 1980 Olympics, and it had a huge impact on my life. Jim Craig, the goalie for USA, is one of the main reasons that I wanted to. I'd already knew that I kind of wanted to be a goalie, but that sealed the deal. And he's a huge hero of mine. And I would like to, I mean, it's in January. I don't know whether I'm going to be asked to play or not. And I don't know if we'd win, but I mean, I would just absolutely love to win a gold medal for the USA. I don't know if it's possible. It's okay. Of course it's possible. I don't know whether it'll happen or not, though, but I mean, it would be a dream of mine.
Well, Tim, thank you for joining us. We wish you good luck tonight on your nomination for the Vezina. We wish you good luck with the Bruins next season and on making Team USA.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. That's Tim Thomas, the Boston Bruins. We're going to take a quick break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on the NHL Hour in just a couple of minutes.
Dreamed I saw the knights in armor come and saying something about a queen. There were peasants singing and drummers drumming, and the archers split the tree.
Hi, this is Jordan Stahl from the Pittsburgh Penguins, and you're listening to the NHL Hour with Commissioner Gary Bettman on the NHL Radio. Now back to Commissioner Bettman.
Welcome back to the NHL Hour. Gary Bettman, Rob Simpson coming to you live from the Palms Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, site of the 2009 NHL Awards Show. Before we go to our next guest, George Maloof, we'll take a couple of calls. Tony in Tampa, you're on Sirius XM, the NHL Hour.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing today?
We're doing okay. Good. How are you?
Couldn't be better in Vegas, I'm sure. I'm doing okay. Mr. Commissioner.
Yes.
Sir, you have done a fantastic job. Living down here in Tampa, hockey isn't a real big thing. The Lightning had their seasons in the earlier 90s, or sorry, 2003, 2004 or so when they won the Cup. But other than that, it's such a transient state, and they're more in a football and baseball down here. But over the last couple of years, it's starting to pick up. I think you guys have noticed in the ratings, you know, NBC ratings and versus and you know, what the TV stations are telling you, it's coming around. I think the Winter Classic and the adjusting the schedules, playing you know, each team playing all the others in the regular season, and the shootouts has just made it more and more exciting. So hats off to you on that.
Well, thank you. You know, and I think sometimes people tend to underestimate how long it takes teams to establish roots in a community. You know, the Tampa Bay Lightning go back to the early to mid-90s in the life of a professional sports franchise in terms of parents passing on traditions to their children and their children's children. It takes a while in any sport for new franchises to take hold, particularly in what are called non-traditional markets. So we know there's great support in Tampa, and we appreciate it.
Well, hey, I just said this is my first time calling in, and if this is going to be your last show for a while, I had to call that in. Now, well, I have one quick question, though, before I let you guys go. Have you ever seen an entire division make the playoffs, like this year, Detroit, Chicago, St. Louis, Columbus, and Nashville barely missed it?
Off the top of my head, no. But it's a testament, what you're describing, to how incredibly competitive the regular season was. Every game mattered. Teams were making the playoffs, not making them by a point or two, a loss. At any given time in the season, October, November, makes all the difference in the world. And what you want from a regular season is every game to matter and every game to count. And I think we got as close to that as possible.
Yeah, since the 30-team league started, that has not happened. And some think that'll keep Nashville out again next year, because with Columbus improving, that division is so good now that Nashville might be on the outside looking in again, just simply because the other four in the division are so good. So it probably won't happen again. If it does, that might be the likely spot. Nashville and the rest of them in the West.
That's incredible to make a prediction this early for next season. Let's go to our next caller, Derek in Calgary. You're on with Rob and Gary. This is Sirius XM.
Hey, Commissioner, how you doing today?
We're good. How are you?
Good. Rob, miss you on Nesson, buddy.
Thank you.
Hey, just Commissioner, I don't know how often you get to talk to the players, but that interview you just had with Timmy Thomas, not only is this guy a workhorse and really proven himself to be an elite goaltender, and maybe Rob can attest to this a little bit too, but is he not one of the most honest hockey players and genuine guys that you do get to talk to? Like, I mean, he speaks his mind, but he does it in such a way that he's not stepping on anyone's toes in the process?
You know what? I think he's representative of the overwhelming way that NHL players carry themselves both on and off the ice. And I try to make it a point to have conversations with players one-on-one. We encourage them when they're in New York playing either the Islanders, the Rangers, or the Devils to stop by when they're doing media for us. And it's not uncommon for a player to come in and sit with me for a half hour. An hour is much for me, like this show, to hear what's on their mind, to hear what questions they have. And so we encourage the interaction, but Tim was terrific, and it was really great to have him on. So thank you for the call. We have another guest here. Callers, please hold on if you're on hold. George Maloof, the leading guiding force behind the building and operation of the Palms Casino Resort, which, among other things, has hosted the MTV Video Music Award, music premieres, The Real World, I think you started here. Why don't you tell people a little bit about the Maloof family, what you're all into, and what it's like owning a Las Vegas casino? Because you're a young guy. I'm looking at you. Our listeners can't see it. You know, you must be in your early 40s. Must be a pretty cool thing to own your own casino.
Yeah, you know, it's great. You know, it's a lot of responsibility, a lot of work. But, you know, we've been able to be part of the community here in Las Vegas for almost 15 years. Obviously, we're in the sports business. We own the Sacramento Kings. We have a Coors beer distributorship in New Mexico, along with Miller and other beer products. And we have an entertainment company in L.A. So we do lots of things that kind of relate to service and entertainment and taking care of our customers and trying to excel in our communities that we do business in.
I'm in my mid to late 50s, so I'm not your demographic, but this hotel has a reputation as being a pretty cool, hip place. Is that something you strived for, and how did you get it to have that image?
Well, it was on purpose. When we opened, we wanted to create a place where people could come and have fun. Las Vegas, maybe the true spirit of Las Vegas is that people come to this city to party and have fun. And we wanted to be right on the edge from the beginning. So here we are 8 years later, and we're still doing things that are unique and fun and, you know, cool. So
what was the thought process and the actuality of bringing the NHL awards here?
You know, it was something that came to us probably seven or eight months ago. And with your blessing, we were able to get it done. It was an easy one for us because we knew that if we put on something that had a tradition in the league, we were going to do it right, and it's something that the city is really proud of. You know, for us to have it at the Pearl, at the Palms, it's a special day.
And what's involved in doing it? I noticed throughout the casino now there's a red carpet that's being established. We're going to be sold out. The staging looks magnificent. Logistically, how does it all work?
It's a lot of work, but it doesn't get any bigger than this. This night is probably our biggest night. And we look at it, we've focused on it the last 60 days, every single day. And today, we're putting the red carpet down. We expect thousands of people to show up for the red carpet, and then we'll have a sold-out menu for the show. It's pretty spectacular. The city is on fire right now. We've done a lot of press, and my phone is ringing off the hook for tickets and for people that have a great interest in what's happening tonight and later on tonight.
There's been a lot of talk that in the economic downturn we've seen nationally that Las Vegas has been impacted. Give our listeners a sense of how it is, how the Palms has been affected, and how an event like this, you know, is handled in an economic downturn.
Well, an event like this is important for economics, no question about it. It brings the right demographics. It brings something new and fresh to our city, which is what we need. We've been down, no question about it, the last 6 or 7 months. I think we've felt the bottom. We have to remind people what a great city Las Vegas is. You know, there's been a lot of negative things in the press about our city, but in reality, it's great. I mean, it is the greatest city in the world. We have more to offer here than any city in the world, and I think it's just a matter of reminding people about that.
There's been a lot of talk. I get asked all the time, and I say we're not expanding, we're not relocating, about an NHL team coming to Vegas. How do you respond to the questions that if you can't get a new building for your Sacramento Kings in Sacramento, that you might be moving them here?
That's a tough question to answer. You know, we're working like hell in Sacramento to get our building. We believe in the market, and we believe in our fans. We need to stay focused on that, which we are. But I think Las Vegas is a unique opportunity for a team, whether it's hockey or NBA. I think there's great possibilities here in Las Vegas.
Well, I can't thank you enough, George Maloof, for hosting the NHL Awards. We're looking forward to tonight's event and to coming back at least 2 more years and beyond. So
thank you.
George Maloof, owner of the Palms, thank you for
thank
being
you
with
very
us.
Thanks for the opportunity. It means a lot. Good.
And our next guest just sat down, Pat Burns, the only man to win the Jack Adams Award as NHL Coach of the Year 3 times, with Montreal in 1989, Toronto in 93, and Boston in 98. And you won the Stanley Cup with the Devils in 2003. Pat, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. Pretty good.
Good to see you. Talk about Claude Julien, Andy Murray, and Todd McLellan. They're the three finalists for tonight.
Well, I think that, you know, Claude and I almost, Claude followed me along the way somewhere. We're both from the same area. He coached the Hull Olympics in junior, the same team that I coached in junior. Went to the Montreal Canadiens farm team, the same place I started to, and then went to Montreal Canadiens and coached the New Jersey Devils. So it's almost the exact same road that I've went through that Claude did. He did a good job, and it's not always easy, I think, with teams like San Jose, if you want to take Todd, for example. When a team is talented and they're supposed to do something every year and continue it, it's sometimes it's a little tougher. And, of course, what can you say about Andy Murray coming up from the stretch behind like that and making the playoffs and pushing his team and pushing probably the buttons at the right time? And I think they surprise everybody. But they're three excellent candidates.
What's it like to be an NHL coach and sit at the NHL Award when you know you're up for the Jack Adams? What goes through your mind?
A lot. It's a time. People always think in these awards that you know whether you won and everything and you're ready to give.
We don't tell.
Nobody tells. I know that. I tell everybody. I said, no, you don't know. So you have to go up there and be prepared and not make sure you don't forget anybody, thanking everybody. But it's good for your career too. I think it's something that that coaches can use in you know, down the road somewhere, and it can always it's always something that can just better your career.
When you've been able to watch the game objectively the last few years, mm-hmm. comment on the changes you see in the game and how it's being played. And also the fact that there have been 13 NHL coaching changes since the 08-09 season, regular season began. And how do you see that in the context of how the game is being played?
Well, I think at the start, Gary, I think when you made those changes, we were all a little skeptical. You know, we were all a little worried of how this is going to go with no red line. We're talking about this and that. And, you know, like you say, watching the game from a different point, you know, upstairs and working with the Devils the way I do, and looking at, you know, this game has evolved in such a better game now, a quicker sport, much more nicer plays, I would say, through going through the neutral zone. Back then, we used to teach people. We used to teach them to hold up guys. Just, you know, put your stick in his stomach and pull back on him. And hold. We taught that. That was a teaching thing. And now you can see that it's gotten away. And I think it's really, really opened the game. And all for the better. I think that the good skill players have a lot more room. And they can move quicker through the neutral zone, which creates more offense. Now, for the coaches getting fired, I think that's, you know, that's been going on for a long time. That's not, and not only in our sport, I think in all sports. But I think in perspective in our particular sports, I think now you see the ownership more involved than ever in our sport. And it wasn't like that back when I started in the late 80s. Owners stayed back and never said anything. The general manager ran everything, and he made the decisions. And I think now with more and more you see owners getting involved in the operations of their team. And I think that's one of the reasons where, hey, I'm paying the bill. I want some results here, and I'm not getting them. Sorry, we have to change. And I think that's one of the reasons why there's more coaches being fired.
You coached in your hometown of Montreal, mm-hmm. And you coached the Devils to a Stanley Cup 2003 in New Jersey. Which was a bigger thrill?
I think winning the cup is an amazing feat. It's an amazing thrill. But coaching in Montreal, the especially growing up there, and every single day of having to face the media every single day to you know, to explain your every single move, your pictures in the paper more than the Prime Minister of Canada. You know, I think that's that in itself was a challenge. Whereas in New Jersey, there was probably less media coverage in New Jersey. But I think Lou Lamoriello and you know, and Jeff Vanderbeek have brought in a new rink, more excitement in now, and I think you'll see a little bit more of a change. We were in a parking lot in New Jersey. That's where we had the Stanley Cup parade, was in the parking. Now you're in a downtown area, and downtown is you know, starting to really develop into something. So I think things will change in Jersey now.
We're talking to Pat Burns. Talk to our listeners about how you became a coach.
Well, it was funny how I became a coach. I played junior hockey in Canada, and at one point in time, I knew I had to try it with St. Louis, and I knew that I was not going to be a National Hockey League player. So I came back home, and we lived in a paper mill town, and I didn't want to be a paper mill worker. To see my, saw my father walking out the door for 35, 40 years with his lunch pail in his hand. I said, I just don't want to do that. So I became a police officer in the town. And, you know, everybody knew me. Everybody knew me from my, you know, my junior career and whatnot. And started getting involved with minor hockey in the town where I worked. And had a lot of success at it, too. You know, we won. We won provincial championships. We went to a Canadian championships with Bantam and midget teams. Became involved with the Hull Olympics, which was a major junior team, which Wayne Gretzky bought. And when Wayne bought the team, I figured that was it for me. He was going to bring all his personnel in, and I was pretty well done. But no, Wayne kept me on. We got to the Memorial Cup. We lost against Guelph. Jacques Martin was the coach of Guelph, and Ken Hitchcock was coaching Kamloops. So we all go back way back then in 1986. From there, I went to the American Hockey League with Sherbrooke, which was Montreal's farm team. The following year, I was head coach of the Montreal Canadiens. I stepped out, Gary, for the first time behind the bench in Montreal, and I looked up and I saw the 23 Stanley Cups, and I said, oh my God, what am I doing here?
big shoes to fill. Looking at your expectations, what's the most difficult aspect of coaching, and what's the most satisfying? Obviously, winning.
Winning is, and it's also safer too. I think that, I think I see it more talking to coaches that it's evolved a little bit. I think our youth of today, and our youth back then, is a little different. I think today you have to approach the game, and approach the youth in a different way. I think you have to be a little bit more. I wouldn't say friends, and they have to know that line. But back then, you could scare people into certain things. But that doesn't work anymore. I think you're really the explanations of everything that you're going to do and what you want to do with a hockey club, and make sure that the player understands where you're going. I think that's the big change that I see in today's game. That's what coaches have to deal with day in and day out. Is that point probably is very important. Of course, salaries has become a big issue in all professional sports, and I think you're dealing with situations where players are making huge salaries and are probably closer, like I mentioned a while ago, to ownership than ever.
One last question. You look good. Talk to us about how your health is.
It's still a battle, Gary. You know, and you know, I want to take this occasion to thank everybody in this great NHL family that have sent me well wishes and everything. But we're still battling. You know, we're trying to get through this. It's tough, but we're going to keep on fighting and hope maybe one day that I can come back.
All the best to you, Pat.
Thank you, Gary.
This has been the NHL Hour. Coming up next is In the Slot with Mike Ross and Phil Esposito. To the callers we didn't get to on hold, I apologize. But we will be back next season for another year of the NHL Hour. Until then, have a great summer and enjoy tonight's NHL Award show on Versus and the CBC. Thank you all for listening. Come and dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody of it is worth.
For more podcasts, check out NHL.com. This is NHL Radio.